Good afternoon. Could you say your name, Scoble, and membership? Yes.
Damon Byington, B-A-M-O-N-B-Y-I-N-G-T-O-N.
And were you employed with South Salt Lake Police on March 31st, 2008?
Yes.
What was your occupation?
I worked for the police department, and I was assigned as a detective.
Are you currently with South Salt Lake?
No.
You've retired. How long have you been a police officer?
At the time, about 15 years.
Did you assist in the search for Sernamu on March 31st?
Yes.
What was your capacity at that time?
I was the initial detective, called out from home, and responded to the apartment complex on a missing child.
Do you remember what time?
Some interference. Some noise, I guess ambient noise is having a hard time hearing.
There is some sort of fan.
That
something.
Is the projector.
Oh, the projector, okay. If you could speak up a little.
Okay.
Apparently, Your Honor, there may be some difficulty with interference between the microphones of the interpreters.
Okay.
Do we need to take a break to maybe check the technical?
No, it's just
He's interpreting, though.
Oh, he's interpreting.
So maybe we just have him speak as loudly as possible.
So if everyone can raise
the
levels.
Very good. Do you remember what time you were called out?
I think it was about 6:30 in the evening.
Where were you called to? What location?
I was called to go to the apartment complex itself is where I responded.
Which apartment complex was that?
Well, the address would have been. Can I refer to my notes? I responded to 2232 South 460 East.
Is that in South Salt Lake?
Yes.
In Salt Lake County?
Yes.
And. Let me show you State Exhibit number 3. Is this an aerial photo of that particular apartment complex?
Yes, it is.
Would that be the South Park apartment complex?
Yes, it is.
And going to move on to State Exhibit number 4, which is the same complex but with the unit numbers attached to it. You indicated 2232 is the apartment complex that you went to?
That's the apartment I went to in the complex, yes.
Who was living at that complex?
That would have been Cartoon Wah, his wife, and family.
And do you remember the name of the individual who was missing?
Yes, her name was Sernam Mu.
Tell me how you... What happened as you arrived and up to
the when we got on the scene, our protocols were to search the apartment again, even though it had already been searched, I believe, twice by patrol officers. It's just something that we do. We search the apartment again, make sure that the child's not in there. We then decided to do a apartment-to-apartment search, asking for consent to search for the child. And we started it. Opposite ends of the apartment complex.
Now you're referring to we. Who are you referring to?
The detectives division. I was assigned to be with Detective Sotera, and there was Detective Francis and Detective Perry Stevens.
And was there Detective Carr as well?
Yes, Detective Carr was there as well.
So there's about five.
Yes.
And then your sergeant?
Yes, Sergeant Nick Wersland was there as well.
Was a detective sergeant.
He was a detective sergeant.
So basically a total of six officers?
Yes, I don't know what Detective Carr, I think his particular assignment at that time was working with the CART response team. And so I remember myself, Detective Cetera, Detective Carr was there at first, but I think he left a little bit into it, as well as Sergeant Worsland. But as the night went on, I remember it just being myself, Detective Cetera, Detective Francis, and Detective Stevens.
And you performed a consent search on these apartment complexes?
Yes.
There was a lot of apartment complexes?
Yes, there was a lot of apartments.
And only four of you?
It took a while.
Okay. Tell me about what you did to conduct this this consent search. What was involved in it? How did you do it? Kind of run us through. Knocked on the door.
We would knock on the door and we would tell the occupants why we were there, that there was a missing little girl, Surnamu. A lot of people in the complex knew her, had seen her around, and that we were said that she was lost, and if we could come in and look into the apartments to see if she was there. The majority of the people would let us into their apartments, no questions asked.
And then as you got in the home, what was the extent of your search?
We would just do a very basic search of the rooms. We would call out her name, see if she was in there. We would check in the laundry rooms and the showers and in the bedrooms, in the closets, sometimes look under beds. There were other apartments that wasn't possible because there were no beds in the apartments. And we would just do a general, really quick search. It would only take about 5 minutes.
Tell me about your search. So you have a photograph or something to aid you in the search to show what you were doing?
At some point, a flyer was made, and we were able to show that flyer to people as we were searching.
But that wasn't at the very beginning of the search?
My recollection is, I don't think it was. I don't think it came in until the next day, but it could have been. I don't really know when this flyer was made and circulated.
What about the type of residents in this complex? Can you give us a general description? What kind of individuals were residing
there? The majority of the people that resided there were refugees.
They all speak one language?
Multiple languages. Anything from Burmese to Spanish to a lot of languages. A lot of times we would have to talk to the kids, would then translate to the parents and tell them what we were doing.
So there was a difficulty in translation as well?
Yes.
Were you able to, first of all, did you keep track of places that you were?
Yes, we did.
How did you do that?
Just on a notepad.
Just the unit number?
Just the unit number, if we were able to get in and search it, or if there was no answer.
Did you have places that, was there any vacancies in this apartment?
I'm sure there was. None come to mind, but there's always a vacancy in the apartments.
And were there places where you knocked on the door and you didn't get in?
Yes.
How long did it take you and the other detectives to do this search? When did it begin?
I believe it started about 7 o'clock that night, and we finished up around 4 o'clock that morning.
Do you recall in particular unit numbers that you were not able to get into?
Yes.
And was the apartment complex 472 one of those unit numbers?
Yes, it was.
And on this state exhibit number 4, where is unit 472?
That would be the one that's highlighted in blue.
Now, you talked about CART. What is CART?
CART was a new organization that was done by the state. Children's Assault Response Team, or Apprehend. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it stands for. But it was an organization, basically we pulled from all the organizations throughout the county and the state bring in and to be able to pool, to find missing children. That was the basic function. And they were very new at the time. From my understanding, this was their first activation.
Here in Utah.
I'm sorry, it's a children's abduction response team, I think is what it says. Yes, sorry about that.
That's fine. So, after searching these homes, well, let me give start back. You said that you were not able to get into Unit 472. Do you remember what time of day that you walked on? Did you keep track of the time you went into Hiroshima?
We didn't keep track of the time, but it so happened that we ended up on that particular unit at around 4 o'clock in the morning.
So it was early in the morning?
Yes.
Did you find any difficulty in trying to wake people up as they got later into the day and night?
Yes, it did. As people were sleeping, they, of course, were hard to arouse and get down there. And then I think that was one of the reasons we decided to stop at that time, is because we were being as effective as we wanted to. But we wanted to finish as much as we could of the apartment complex. That was the goal.
But at 4 in the morning, you weren't effective?
No.
What did you do after 4 in the morning?
My particular assignment, the sergeant wanted us to get some sleep and hit it in the morning. I decided to go back to the office, go through what had been done through the day, and I ended up falling asleep at my desk until about 6 a.m.
And why didn't you fall home?
Because I wanted to find the little girl.
Was there a sense of urgency?
Yes. The clock was ticking.
When she woke up at 6 in the morning,
by that time they had the cart. People were at the office setting up, had set up. I went up to see how they were working, what they were organizing. We had a early morning meeting with the with my sergeant, the detectives, the FBI had been called in by that time, and we had a sit-down plan of what we were going to do at that point.
And what was then your assignment?
I was teamed up with Special Agent Pickens, and we went back up to the family and interviewed them.
So you spent time going back and interviewing
the family, trying to get more information as to what had happened.
And is this what you did throughout the day?
Yes, I was conducting interviews throughout the day. Just talking to family members, just trying to confirm information. And the direction, there were people were given specific assignments by my sergeant, by myself, to go out and do. A lot of tips were coming in at that time, and so we were trying to get through those tips that were coming through the media programs and the CART, and so we were trying to get through those tips. My job was to interview the family at the time.
Where did you interview the family?
At their apartment.
So in the
home? Yeah.
Did you go to your command center throughout the day, or did you just stay in the home?
At the time, the command center was the police department. I went up there and interviewed them at their apartment. I remember it being very difficult because of the language barriers, and it took a very long time to get just basic information out. But we never brought them. I think there were some times where we brought family members back to the police department and interviewed them there as well. I think there was an interview with Cartoon Wa at the police department.
Was there a point in time when you found out that her body was
Yes.
Do you remember when that was?
April 1st, around 6:30 in the evening, I believe. 7:30 maybe.
And so later in the evening.
Later in the evening.
Did you happen to go to the location?
I did.
And where was that?
That would be the apartment 472 that's shaded in blue.
Tell me about what you saw as you went into the human person.
We need to up that.
The apartments are all laid out the same way. They either have a to the left or the to the right, depending on which one they were. I remember going down the stairs. It was dark and cold. Saw a mattress there. Saw blood splatters on the wall. When I went into the common bathroom, the laundry, bathroom and the shower is, I then observed her at the bottom of the shower. I can see that she, her arm was in a position that was not natural. Her shoes were off. She was wearing, coincidentally, the same dress that was in the photograph that we had circulated, the same outfit.
I'm going to show you State Exhibit number 1. Is this the same clothing that she was wearing?
Yes, that's the same clothing she was wearing when she was found.
What did you then do after observing the body and when was the crime scene? What was your assignment?
We secured the crime scene and then we started to write search warrants. There were people in the home that were taken, the residents of the home that were taken to the police department and interviewed. And I stayed on scene and wrote search warrants for the apartment.
I want to go back during that first night that you were in there searching the body of the lawyers. Did you happen to come across a person by the name of Aurora Angola?
I did.
Do you remember what unit number she was in? Maybe you can look at
she was in unit number 2239, the one that's shaded in orange.
That's where she was at?
Yeah, that's where she, I believe that's where she lived.
Thank you. I'm going to move now to State Exhibit 130 and have you look at that. Looking at this exhibit, can you see the homes of units 22, 32, and then unit 472?
This should be 472 right here, and this should be the front of 472 right here. The more you're looking.
So right like that?
Yes.
Did you have a chance to measure the distance between those two?
Yeah, I took a laser meter we use on our radar guns. They also have a laser distance. And it came out to 200 and some feet.
So a relatively short distance.
Very.
Thank you.
Oops. Thank you.
Thank you.
Detective Byington, you said that when you were doing the original search, when there was just a few of you, that the majority of the majority of departments allowed you in to consent search.
Yes.
Were there any units where people answered the door but they didn't allow you to consent search?
Not to me.
Were you aware that anyone was denied?
I heard that there was a problem with one apartment. I believe it was a teenage boy who didn't want to let the officers in, but then called his mother, and the mother either came there or gave consent over the phone. But that was not something I was involved in.
And of all of the apartments in the complex, even though there were only a few of you, you were able to speak to someone at each apartment other than three apartments, right?
When we initially went through, we would mark the ones where people didn't answer. Then we would go back. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, we had finished up all but those three apartments.
And you said that you ended on apartment 472.
Yes.
And by that time, I'm assuming something here. When you did the initial search, were you going two by two? Two officers together?
Yes.
Yes.
By 4 in the morning, when you were about to finish your search and you ended at 472, by that time, all four of you were together, right?
Yes, we had not necessarily met at that place, but we had gone over our information, our notes. What apartments do we still need to get into? We actually went back to those three specific apartments, but 472 was the one we ended up on that evening before we left for the evening.
And all four of them were there, not
yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And you knocked on that apartment door.
Yes.
You knocked very loudly.
Yes.
You knocked loudly enough that anyone in the apartment should have been able to hear whether they were asleep or not.
I can't answer if they could hear us or not. I know that we knocked loudly.
It was your intent to wake anybody up whether
yes.
they were sleeping or not. There was no response.
Correct.
You were there for several minutes trying to get a response.
Yes.
And you took turns knocking on the door with at least one of the other detectives.
Yes, Detective Francis and I.
And you even shined your flashlights in the windows upstairs and of the apartment to try to get someone's attention?
Yes.
And you called out verbally as well?
Yes.
As loud as you could to try to get someone's attention?
Right.
And still no response?
Yes.
Now, by then it was 4 o'clock in the morning. You'd been up all night and your sergeant told you to go home and get some sleep.
Yes.
You went back to the office and fell asleep for a couple hours.
Correct.
And then you began working on the case again.
Yes.
So now we're on April 1st of 2008. And please speak out loud.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And at that point in time, you were assigned as a detective in charge of the search for Serna Lu and this area?
Yes.
And Officer, I believe Officer Caudel had made some flyers, or maybe not flyers, but made some photocopies of the picture of Serna Lu early on when she was first discovered missing, right?
I don't have any personal knowledge that Officer Caudel did. I know there was some flyers that were made, but I don't know how they were made or how we got in possession of them.
So there's at least flyers or photographs were made on more than one occasion.
Yes.
In fact, you had I believe you testified at an earlier hearing that you had hundreds of flyers made and distributed to teams of police officers and citizens.
Yes.
And do you know whether any of those flyers were posted around the South Park apartments?
I didn't post any. I don't recall seeing any, but it would not surprise me that there were.
Okay. And on this second day, April 1st, there were a number of other police agencies that had come to assist. Was that part of CARP?
Yes.
And so there were officers from every agency in the valley?
As far as I know.
And plus some FBI officers?
Yes.
And even some officers from Utah County?
Yes, I think there were even officers from Weaver and Davis County as well.
Okay. And then, of course, there were civilians involved in the search. Did you have anything to do with the organization or anything to do with the civilian portion of the search?
No.
May I have just one minute? That's all.
Okay. Redirect? Jansen?
No, you're not.
Thank you, Mr. Bynton.